So, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at a really fascinating developer's blog post.
Yeah, it's titled Packaging a Product into a Skill, a Cyber Banksian for an Agent Contest.
Right, which originally comes from the AX Skill Workshop series. And our mission for you today is pretty clear. We want to figure out how to stop building AI that just, you know, acts like a generic robot in a cheap digital costume.
Oh, totally. We need to start building AI that has actual, deep, opinionated expertise. Well,
exactly. And the setup for this is so good. So this developer enters an AI aging contest, right? But they didn't just go for the usual productivity stuff.
Yeah, no calendar schedulers or, like, email drafters here.
No, they went for a track called, and I hope I'm saying this right, which translates to The Heretical Path.
The Heretical Path. I mean, what a great name for a category.
It's amazing. The whole mandate was basically to build something fun, weird, maybe a little reckless. Just do the exact opposite of a corporate assistant. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Because the way this developer approached the prompt completely flips how the tech industry usually handles AI roleplay.
It really does. And they make this incredibly astute observation right out of the gate. They say that most fun AI skills are essentially, and this is a bit brutal, but true, slop with a costume.
Slop with a costume. Wow.
Right. Because what usually happens is someone writes this super thin prompt like, pretend to be a whimsical wizard, and then they just rely on the LLM to hallucinate all that whimsy on the fly.
Right. There's no substance underneath.
Exactly. There's no foundation.
Which is why the illusion just shatters the second you ask it a slightly weird question. Like, the AI gets way too agreeable, way too fast, and you instantly realize it has no idea what it's talking about.
Yeah. The costume falls right off. But the cool thing here is that this developer realized they already had the perfect antidote to that that slop.
Right, because they hadn't just been writing clever prompts. They'd actually spent the previous 29 days building a super serious, mathematically complex Chinese fortune-telling platform.
Yeah, a platform called Pan Pan Mao. And honestly, that 29-day development period is the entire foundation for this case study.
Totally.
Because integrating the AI at the end was, like, the easiest part, the really grueling work, was encoding all that deep domain knowledge. I mean, they spent nearly a month just porting actual historical divination algorithms from ancient texts into deterministic Python kind.
We really need to pause and contextualize what that actually means for a second. Mm. Because they were transcribing all 64 hexagrams of the I Ching.
Oh, yeah, which is no small feat.
No. And they're including these classical interpretations that have existed for literally thousands of years. Like, if you don't know, a hexagram is basically this ancient, super specific barcode made of six stacked horizontal lines.
Some broken, some solid, right.
Exactly. And every single unique barcode carries paragraphs of philosophical and predictive weight.
But transcribing the text was just the beginning. They also had to encode all these strict, unwritten rules and, like, the cultural edge cases of folk traditions.
Oh, right. The rules of the craft.
Yeah. Real folk diviners operate by a very strict code. They won't do readings for lottery numbers. They absolutely refuse to divine on someone else's serious illness. And they just flat out reject asking the same question twice in one day.
Because it disrespects the tradition.
Exactly. So the developer had to take those deeply human cultural boundaries and somehow translate them into software logic. Plus, they had to write this comprehensive voice guide so the AI actually sounded like an authentic, mystical narrator.
It's so intense. I mean, most people think making an AI persona is just like putting a cheap Halloween mask on a calculator. Right? Mm. Paint a spooky face on it, tell it to use big words, and just hope for the best.
Yeah, pretty much.
But this feels totally different. Isn't this more like hiring a classically trained actor who has already spent a decade memorizing the entire encyclopedia of their subject?
That is a great way to put it.
The knowledge is already in their bones before they even open their mouth.
Yes. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the meta lesson here is just profound for anyone building software today. Well, the author realized that if you build a product with a clear structural separation, like separating its core algorithm, its knowledge base, and its voice, you actually already have an AI skill hiding inside it.
Wait, so you don't have to invent a completely new brain for the AI?
No, not at all. You're just giving the AI access to a highly specialized brain that you've already built. Yeah. You aren't authoring something new from scratch. You're just republishing the robust parts of a system that works.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So they took these three Eastern divination engines that they'd built for Pan Pan Mao, stripped away the visual website part, and just packaged them into a single portable skill. And now, any agent platform like Claude Code or Codex can just call it on demand.
Okay, but having that encyclopedia of knowledge in your head doesn't really matter if your vocal cords are disconnected from your brain, right?
Yeah.
So how do they actually connect the ancient math to the modern AI?
That's where the architecture comes in. The blog post calls it the three-folder architecture.
Three folders. Sounds simple enough.
It is, and the elegance of it is definitely worth dissecting. So layer one is the calculation layer. This is the service or business logic.
Okay.
In the skill, this becomes a hard-coded Python script. It takes the structured input from the user, does the actual math of the fortune, and spits out a deterministic, totally predictable output.
Got it. So absolutely no AI hallucinations allowed in the math.
Zero. Then you have the second layer, which is the knowledge base. This is all the reference data, the hexagram barcodes, the historical texts, all of it. And they package those as simple markdown text files.
And they just sit there dormant until the AI needs them.
Exactly. Then finally, the third layer is the voice. The UI copy, the error messages, the brand personality from the original product, that all becomes the persona prompt, which is stored in one single file called skill.md.
Wow. So it's cleanly divided. Scripts for the engine, data for the knowledge, and one root file for the persona.
You got it.
Okay, so let me pose a theory here, kind of thinking about you listening to this right now. Say I built a basic data entry app last year.
Okay, sure.
It takes user information, shuffles it into a database, pulls it out when asked. Just a standard CRUD app, you know, create, read, update, delete. If I take that three-folder architecture and wrap an AI around my basic database, do I instantly have a magical AI skill hiding in my app too?
Well, the developer actually addresses that exact scenario, and they make a pretty harsh point.
No.
No.
Ouch. Okay, why not?
Because if your software is just a thin layer over a database or a generic API, there's no latent skill to extract. The real value of an AI skill comes from encoding deeply held opinions about a specific domain.
Opinions. So it's not just moving data from point A to point B.
Right. The software has to have a strict point of view on how that data is handled. Pampin Mao encoded these incredibly deep opinions, like which specific divination method to use in which circumstance, or the exact level of self-deprecation the mystic should have, and all those rigid edge cases it has to refuse. Without those opinions and rules, your software is basically just plumbing. And plumbing doesn't magically become a skill just because you slapped an AI on the front of it.
Right. The opinions are the skill. That makes so much sense.
Right.
Okay, so with that rock-solid foundation, they had to design the actual persona for this heretical contest. And they didn't just make a generic fortune teller with a crystal ball, right?
No, they created the Cyber Banksian.
The Cyber Banksian.
Yeah.
Which means half immortal.
Yeah, half immortal. In Chinese culture, it's this sort of self-deprecating term for a folk diviner. They have a very specific vibe. They're part mystical oracle, part neighborhood stand-up comedian.
I love that.
They sit on the street corner, they've seen every kind of human folly, and they really don't take themselves too seriously. But their underlying knowledge is completely legitimate.
So designing this half-immortal character led to some pretty counterintuitive decisions.
Yeah.
And the first one almost tripped the developer up, right? Because they originally wanted to include a dual mode.
Right, yeah. They wanted a serious, straightforward mode for users who just wanted the clinical divination, and then a fun half-immortal mode for the contest judges.
Which sounds like a standard software feature in the user options.
You'd think so. But the developer was actually brainstorming this with Claude the AI itself, and Claude actively pushed back against the idea.
Wait, the AI told them it was a bad idea?
Yeah. Claude argued that in a track literally called The Heretical Path, offering a serious mode just proves you're hedging your bets. It completely ruins the bit.
Huh. Claude is out here giving artistic direction.
Totally. It said a judge would immediately ask why a serious tool was submitted to the weird track.
That is amazing. So they committed fully to the bit. They went all in on the single persona. Like, if you want a serious tool, go use the main website. This agent is the Banksian. You take the neighborhood oracle as they are, or you walk away.
Exactly. And committing to that persona led to the second big design decision, which I think really shows the brilliance of the architecture. The Banksian absolutely does not let the user pick which divination method to use.
Which is wild, because most platforms would instantly give you a drop-down menu, like, please select your method from these three options.
Right, but asking the user to pick destroys the illusion of expertise. A real Banksian wouldn't ask a customer how to do their own job.
Here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Imagine taking your car to a professional auto mechanic. You don't walk into the shop, point at your leaking engine, and tell the mechanic, hey, use a 5/8 wrench on that third bolt.
No, they would probably kick you out.
Exactly. The mechanic listens to your problem, diagnoses it, picks the tool, and maybe explains why they chose it. That's what makes the interaction feel professional.
And that's exactly the dynamic the developer replicated. So there are three completely different divination engines under the hood. The first is Yaluren, which is for small, immediate concerns.
Like what?
Like, where did I leave my keys? Or is this lunch meeting going to go well? And analog practitioners actually execute this by counting on their fingers across a 6-position cycle based on the current hour.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. And the second engine?
The second is Meiwei Yishu, which is for spontaneous questions. Like when a patron just has a weird feeling or sees a strange omen, computationally, the user just gives the diviner a few random numbers off the top of their head to generate the reading.
Got it. And the third one is the heavy hitter, right?
Oh, yeah. Lu Yao. This one is reserved for serious, long arc life decisions, like marriage, changing careers, lawsuits. It requires 6 separate coin tosses and a full complex hexagram interpretation.
So the workflow is basically seamless for the user. You just ask a question like, should I renew my work contract? And the half immortal processes it, realizes it's a major life decision, and independently routes it to the complex Lu Yao engine.
Right.
And then it explains it in character like, this is a long arc question, not a today or tomorrow one. We need to throw the coins.
Which just establishes instant authority. But actually triggering that Lu Yao engine presents a massive technical hurdle.
Because of the math.
Yeah, the sheer complexity is staggering. You're simulating 6 coin tosses, doing primary hexagram lookups against a 64 entry table, identifying these things called changing lines.
Changing lines.
Yeah, where specific coin combinations mean the situation is evolving into a completely different hexagram, and then assigning earthly branches for time and space coordinates. It's just mathematically exhaustive.
Okay, so the obvious question that anyone building with AI right now is going to ask is, why not just let the large language model do the math? I mean, we feed these models logic puzzles all the time. Can't it just figure out the changing lines on its own?
Well, this highlights a fundamental limitation of LLMs that developers ignore at their own peril. LLMs cannot do this level of complex math reliably because they are probabilistic, not deterministic.
Right, they're basically fancy autocomplete.
Exactly. An LLM doesn't calculate that 2 + 2 = 4. It just predicts that 4 is the most highly probable token to follow 2 + 2.
So it's predicting what a hexagram usually looks like in a block of text, rather than actually doing the simulated coin tosses and checking the index.
Yep. And the developer noted that the LLM will confidently generate errors that look completely correct to a normal person. But this project was for a 3-minute contest demo video. If the AI hallucinates one single incorrect changing line, the math is broken, the illusion shatters, and they get disqualified.
High stakes. So that division of labor in the three-folder architecture has to be razor sharp.
Incredibly sharp. The Python scripts act like the restaurant kitchen handling all the complex logic, tossing the coins, and outputting a totally deterministic JSON file.
Because a JSON file is rigid. It operates on facts, totally insulated from the LLM's guessing.
Precisely.
But wait, how does the LLM translate that rigid JSON data into the poetic voice of the Banksian? Especially without getting totally confused by the sheer volume of all those historical texts in the database.
This is the clever part. The Python script doesn't just output the math. It outputs what the developer calls knowledge pointers.
Knowledge pointers.
Knowledge, like...
file path.
Exactly. Relative file paths pointing to highly specific sections of the markdown files. The LLM is strictly instructed not to read the whole encyclopedia. The Python script basically hands the LLM a note that says, look only at paragraph 3 of this specific file, read the context for this exact changing line, and render the interpretation as the Banksian.
So the Python does the absolute math, and the LLM does the poetic meaning. That is brilliant. The judges looking at the ZIP file see a real algorithmic engine, not just a prompt pretending to be one.
It creates a system that's incredibly robust. But, you know, the unique flavor of the Banksian isn't just about what the code allows it to do. It's heavily defined by what it strictly refuses to do.
Right. Authentic refusals, which completely flips the script on how developers usually handle AI safety guardrails.
Yeah, every AI needs guardrails. But real folk diviners have their own historical guardrails. Like we mentioned earlier, they won't read a fortune for a serious illness. They tell you to go to a doctor. They won't divine lottery numbers. And they won't pry into a third party's private business.
And if you ask a standard, naive AI for lottery numbers, what happens? It triggers some basic keyword detection and spits out I'm sorry, as an AI language model, I cannot fulfill this request.
And boom, the costume falls to the floor, the bank scene vanishes, and the user remembers they're just talking to a server rack in California.
The persona is just dead. But the developer had already solved this when they built Pam Pam Mao. They had already encoded all these cultural edge cases with specific diversion language, right?
Yeah, they ported those exact diversions straight into the AI agent.
It perfectly mirrors the golden rule of improv comedy. Yes, and good improvisers never just shut down their scene partner. They redirect the energy.
Right, they keep the scene alive.
Yeah. So instead of breaking character, the cyber Banksian leans even harder into it. Like, if a user asks about their mother's illness, the Banksian doesn't give a corporate warning. It says, your mother's illness is for the doctor to read, not the cards. But the cards can tell you something about your own state in this matter. And it's saying, you're holding too much. Sit with that.
You're holding too much. Yeah. It's so good.
Right. The AI redirects the limitation into a deeply emotional, character-driven frame. It uses the refusal to actually provide value to the user.
What's fascinating here is the psychological paradox it creates. By burdening the AI with these incredibly strict, hard-coded limitations on what it absolutely will not do, it ironically makes the character feel significantly more authentic.
Because it has professional boundaries,
yeah,
just like a human expert would.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? We started this deep dive talking about the plague of slop, these AI apps that are infinitely wide but incredibly shallow. And this developer proved that the antidote to slop isn't just writing a longer prompt.
Definitely not.
The finished product they submitted was just a single ZIP file. But inside that file was real domain knowledge, historically accurate algorithms, and rigid cultural rules. It just proves that AI works best when it's surfacing deeply human, opinionated domain expertise instead of just inventing it out of thin air.
Yeah, this case study perfectly illustrates the difference between a costume and a workshop. A brilliant prompt is just a costume. It's fun for 5 minutes, but it's hollow without the workshop underneath it. You know, the structured data, the algorithms, the human opinions.
Heavy materials.
Right. Pen Pen Mao was the workshop where those materials were forged. The AI skill is really just one of the cool things you can assemble once you have those high quality parts.
I love that analogy. So think about your own life. Your day job, your side projects, or even your weirdest, most hyper-specific hobbies.
Yeah.
What latent skills or hard-won domain opinions are just sitting in your brain right now or on your hard drive?
What are the strict rules and edge cases that only you know?
Exactly. They're just waiting to be structured, packaged up, and given a voice.
Yeah.
Because as this deep dive shows, the real magic isn't the AI itself. The AI is just the mouthpiece. The real magic is the deeply human knowledge you feed it. We'll leave you to chew on that.